This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remaining with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby you find that the most dominant theme inside the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speaking about the return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the meeting al-liqa ma'allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the main theme of the Quran, and more specific, the theme of the 29th juz that we're looking at the moment, and the 30th juz of returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the last day. And inside the Quran that we find that Bani Israel or Musa alayhi salam, they wanted to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they wanted to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah said to him, Lan tarani, you're not going to be able to see me inside this dunya. But inside Akhirah, we find that believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرًا. On that day, faces will be radiant, will be glowing, whereby they'll be looking and visualizing and seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the theme of the Quran, is الرجوع إلى الله, going back to see, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Till eventually the Quran mentions, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ. Fear that day whereby you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as if the whole of this theme inside the Quran, the theme inside the 29th and the 30th juz, is preparation of the believer to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more stronger that conviction is in the return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more stronger the conviction becomes in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the believer wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wants to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the more weaker the conviction is, the belief is, or belief inside the last day, then the weaker becomes the preparation, al-istidad liyawmi rahil, in preparation for the day of leaving this dunya. That's the Quran, as many times we mentioned, begins, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Believers are those who believe in the unseen. Why does the Quran begin in such a spectrum? Believe in the unseen, because the whole of the Quran is the unseen. Al-akhirah is al-unseen. Al-akhirah is the ending. What takes place after this dunya, after this world, the unknown. But the more the person has that conviction about al-akhirah, the ending, the final abode, the more the struggle becomes inside this dunya. وَلَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Man will only have that which he strives for. Whether you take it in the material sense of this dunya, the more effort you put into this dunya, it's a common practice, common sunnah. The more harder that you work, the more effort you put inside your business, inside your work, inside your career, there's going to be a response in general. There may be some collapses, but in general, that's sunnah tallayl al-ard. There's going to be benefit. And likewise, the same concept in al-akhirah, which we don't follow, that we don't have that effort of trying to strive more and more. وَلَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Man will only have that which he strives for. Obviously, we know as a core inner element of belief, Ahlul Sunnah, التوفيق من الله, Rahmatullah, it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu that gets us into paradise. But Allah grants tawfiq, grants a person the ability to understand and to make that journey to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this surah is no exception of Surah Al-Haqqah, of the reality, the truth of making that journey back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereby the previous surah, Surah Al-Qalam, it spoke about those who reject the last day. So this surah begins by speaking about the rejectors of the last day, because it's common inside our society. زَعْمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ ثُمَّ لَتُنَبَّأُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ وَذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. زَعْمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا. Disbelievers, that's what they say, we're never going to be resurrected. You know, sometimes as we squabble and argue amongst ourselves, look at the world, it's becoming an atheist world. Agnostics in everything that they do and they believe in. There's no akhirah, there's no return. Live life to the fullest inside this dunya. وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرِ. What is life but play and amusement? And the only thing that destroys us is a dahr. The passing, the prevailing of time will take us apart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about inside this surah about what happens to these people who reject the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no baqiyah, there's no signs of them. There's only a few remnants of empires that existed before, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala squashed them, how he destroyed them, wiped out their total existence, just left behind certain remnants, certain athar, to show that those people who reject the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then who antagonize the prophets, who rebel against the prophets, fight against the prophets, وَيَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And then they sacrifice, they kill the prophets without any justification. And those who follow the way of the prophets, manhajul nubuwa, what they begin to do to them. These are rebellious, wicked people. And that's why these people will be dealt with firstly and lastly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they'll be, the ending of these individuals will be a crippled society, will be a demolished society, will begin to take place, will begin to fight and rebel against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's certain forms of rebelliousness that a person is zulm upon their own self. Ma'asi wa dhunub. Sins that a person commits, they're upon oneself. They're one's internal personal sins. But when a person begins to spread sins inside society, invites people towards sins, encourages sins. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Strange is that Allah placed this ayah inside Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur, the 24th chapter of purity, of tazkiyah, of guarding one's chastity, honor, dignity, preservation, lowering one's gaze, staying away from fawahish, illicit sexual misconduct, bad behavior. That Allah then mentioned this. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ. Those who love to spread vice, love to spread evil, munkarat, wal-fawahish, illicit behavior, haram things inside society. What does Allah say about these individuals? لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. There's going to be a chastisement for them inside this dunya. Inside this dunya and inside al-akhirah for these individuals. So the believer isn't one who begins to spread vice, spread sins, encourage people towards sins. Because we have enough sins as it is on our plate, as they say, on our mind, on our heart, on our soul. Enough sins that we have. And then we want to carry the burden, awzar, of other people. The sins of other people, carry their sins inside our life or on the day that we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala awakens the believers inside this surah. That awakens us to remember to rectify our record. That in our return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's going to be a record that's going to be displayed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the more the person focuses upon their record, Allah gives a descriptive nature. Just like we find it in terms of exams at the moment, people are going through that struggle and that worry. And when they get the end result, people are going to say, look at my record. Look at my results. Look at what I've achieved by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That same, the Quran, it speaks in the psychological dimension of logar, linguistics that we understand, a life that we live in. Quran isn't far away as some of us that we think. Quran is a far away, distant book that it doesn't, ma yukhatibul insan. It doesn't address human beings. It doesn't address our daily lives. Because you know what? The main key element of this is a weakness of understanding of the Arabic language. That's why Imam Shatibi said, "Kullu ma kana yafqahu lughal arabiyya." Whoever understands the Arabic language, that person is strong in their belief, strong in their understanding. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me to do. Quran, let's get this clear, cannot be translated. You can't translate the Quran. You can't translate certain words of the Quran because the Quran has a certain demeanor, certain context that it has inside the Quran. You can't shift that from one language to another language and say, this is a replica of the Quran. Mustahil. It's impossible because the Quran has its context of the language and the wording that it uses. For example, al-baghda, that people translate as hatred. That's not the context of the Quran, that you have hatred towards people. That, because hatred in the English language means hatred of causing people harm, going towards them, trying to affect them, do something towards them. But when the Quran says that there's baghdah baynana wa baynakum, hatred in the context that we don't accept your way of life, your faith, your idolatry, your worshipping besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't lead to become animosity towards a person harming physically. According to them, becomes a form of hatred of trying to oppress and harm people. But that's not the meaning of the Quran. And then we follow these individuals, people who write texts and laws about the Quran. They claim to be specialists about Islamic law. Just next time, stop them and ask them, read Surah Al-Fatiha, read the Quran. How can a person who doesn't even know Surah Al-Fatiha, doesn't know deep Arabic language, doesn't understand, begin to say, this is what legislation is, and begins to impose upon us, this is the meaning or the interpretation of the Quran. So we need to understand the context and the language of the Quran, and have this penetration, being able to drift into the language of the Quran, to understand and decipher what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to do. So Allah gives this depictive nature of Al-Akhirah, of the last day of good deeds, what's going to be given to those individuals, and then the opposite. That unfortunately there is doom inside the Quran. There's doom and gloom mentioned inside the Quran to awaken people. That's what Allah mentions. Certain things inside the Quran. وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind them about the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Days of returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Quran بين الترغيب وترهيب وبين البشير والنذير. Quran is between that, giving that encouragement and that warning, the glad tidings.
That's what the person needs, the human being needs that incentive. That this is my reward, what will be given to me. And this could be the punishment I could face inside Al-Akhirah. And all this for what purpose? It's simply just to awaken the individual to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inside this surah, Surah Al-Haqqah. This surah, Surah Al-Haqqah, with other Imam Firouzabad, he called it a silsila. Because inside it mentions about people we place inside chains, shackles. Sab'una dhira'an faslukoo. 60 cubits long, then they'd be dragged and thrown into ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوا. Then they'd be dragged and thrown into Jahannam. So he gives it this name, but the most common name is Al-Haqqah. And Al-Haqqah is one of the names of Yawm Al-Qiyamah. That's why inside some ulama collected, like Imam Qurtubi is collected some 80 different names, some direct names and those names are inferred from Yawm Al-Qiyamah. We find Al-Haqqah, Al-Tama, Al-Sakha, Al-Qari'ah, Al-Ghashiyah, Al-Qiyamah, Al-Waqi'ah. These are direct names about Yawm Al-Qiyamah mentioned inside the Quran. Then you find Yawm Al-Hisab, Yawm Al-Din, Yawm Al-Mi'ad, Yawm Al-Taghabun. These are all forms of reminding us about the last day, about coming in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving all these repetitious natures or these word formats inside the Quran? For what purpose? To remind the individual about Al-Haqqah, the reality. Min Al-Haqq. It's the truth. This is something no one can deny, that every single individual will have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside this surah, and the strange thing, the relation between this surah and the previous surah, Surah Al-Qalam, as we mentioned, both these surahs have 51 or 52 verses, follow the same suit. And likewise, the Quran begins to speak about those individuals who were destroyed inside Surah Al-Qalam, how they were destroyed when they were arrogant towards the laws and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, this surah speaks about what they said about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what they attributed to him inside Surah Al-Qalam. And in this surah, it mentions that you're not kahin, wala majnoon, you're not a soothsayer, you're not a mad individual. So the same theme, it continues from one surah to another surah that we find. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these individuals, that the reality of what's going to take place upon these individuals. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحَاقَ. What will explain to you what Al-Haqqa is? You know, Quran is unique. That's what they say. في اللغة العربية ما يتكرر فوق ثلاث مرات. You don't repeat something beyond three times. It loses its value. So whenever Allah speaks about certain things inside the Quran, He mentions it the maximum three times, and then He gives it descriptive nature what's going to take place. وما أدراك. Whenever Allah says inside the Quran وما أدراك, then it's a descriptive nature is given of what's going to take place or what's going to happen. But when Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says وما يدريك لعل الساعة تكون قريبا. What will explain وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ, that the hour is very close by. There's no definition given. There's no explanation. It's left at that. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. Inside Surah Al-Abasa that we find. This is a deep inference inside the Quran. There's certain reason why Allah would say وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ. It changes a whole dimension of perception of the Quran. حَتَّى, as we mentioned many times, even حَتَّى أَوَوْ حَرْف وَاحِدَ. One letter can just change the whole concept of the Quran. When Allah mentions that Surah Az-Zumar, speak about the people of paradise, how they enter into paradise, and how people of Jahannam enter into paradise. There's only a difference of harf waw. One small letter, one haraka, that changes the whole depiction of what will happen to people of paradise and what will happen to people of hellfire. And that's what the Quran is. A taswir al-fanni, a display of what will take place inside the akhirah to awaken our souls and our minds, that unfortunately some of us don't seem to waken up. And inside the works of Imam Tabrani that we find, whereby what a hadith is mentioned, the Prophet would read this surah inside Surah Al-Fajr. Wallahu a'lam about the authenticity of this hadith, but we find generally a surah Al-Mufassal, the middle surahs that we find was common practice for the Prophet alayhi salam to recite these surahs inside their prayers on a daily basis that we find. So we find this surah speaking about Aqubat Allah, speaking about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wal-akhirah, and about the last day. That what happened to these individuals who began to reject the last day. Allah mentions in a cluster of ayat five different types of individuals. The people of Ad, the people of Thamud, people of Musa, wal-mu'tafikat, the people of Lut, and the people of Nuh. Five generations, five different people in a cluster of just 2 to 3 ayat speaks about them. Because when the previous surahs inside Surah Al-Araf and other places, it gives a long depictive nature about what these people have began to do. But we know that the Makkan Usloob, the Makkan surahs inside the Quran, that's what most ulama go to review. This is a Makkan surah. You know, some try to say there's certain ayat that could be Medinan. Is the theme is just destruction of those individuals, those people that existed before. Why does Allah subhanahu speak about these people who existed before? To remind the Quraysh to remind us that these great empires that people believed in, that they were thriving and they were living on, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed these individuals. What was the end of these individuals? كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ. You find the people of Thamud wa'ad, بِالْقَارِعَةِ, they rejected the Qari'ah. As we mentioned, is the last day. This violent storm or this violent sound that will come and destroy and wipe out people. كَذَّبَتْ, they denied, they rejected. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ الْأَرْضِ, any nation who rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's destruction for them, various forms of destruction. It doesn't have to be this destruction that the Quran depicts at times. It could be destruction min amrad, via diseases that are spread inside society. At-tufan, plague, torture, torment, unrest that we find inside society. That's all forms of adab. So don't think adab is just when a meteorite or something striking a people. There could be things within society that create this within people. Unrest within people. There's no rest inside their life. There's always this qalaq, this beak inside their life. Because why? They're rebelling against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rebelling against His teachings. Rebelling against what He told us to do inside our lives. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these five tribes or these five people for us to ponder and to reflect. That's why the Quran, if you study the Quran and study those ulama who extracted the stories of the Prophet that we should read, as you mentioned, Qasasul Anbiya of Ibn Kathir. Read these stories. Why? To strengthen our belief, to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiped out these people, and what was the sins, what were the vices, what were the reasons, what these individuals carrying out upon the face of this earth. فَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِالطَّاغِيَةِ. As for the people of Thamud, فَأُهْلِكُوا بِالطَّاغِيَةِ بِالصَّيْحَةِ, as Imam Tabarani he mentions, just a total destruction was imposed upon these people. And it's a strange point, this is the only place inside the Quran that Allah mentions Thamud قَبْلَ عَاد. Mentions the people of Thamud before عَاد, normally it's the opposite. And it could be a reason behind it, some ulama tafaseer have discussed. But the main theme being how these individuals, they were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to show the Quraysh, that the people of Thamud, they are in the Shamal, in the north of the Arabian Peninsula, in that direction. And the other people of Ad, in the Junub, in the south, that from every single direction, look how we destroyed these people. They're not far away from you, O people of Quraysh. That their athar, their remnants are still there. And look how still some of these remnants, they exist today. Whether it be the pyramids that we find, or the Petra inside Jordan that we find, Al-Urdun that we find, these are still remnants to show us, look how Allah destroyed these people. Maybe some people may argue where these relics should be destroyed or whatever it may be, but the core inner element is Allah left them there. Left them there to show us, look at these people, these fara'ina, these fir'aun that existed before. Study even how one pyramid was built. Look at the size of one rock, how to build that. That sign is left there to this day to show that this is the end of these people. There's no essence left of these individuals. Allah wiped them out. Just left certain remnants to show the rest of society that we find. وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. As for the people of Ad, they were destroyed with a wind. They find صَرْصَرٍ بَارِدًا, a strong, coarse, cold wind. So it was just a normal rih. It was a strong wind, a cold wind, a bitter wind that came. Atiya, la rahma fiha. There's no compassion, there's no mercy. It's a wind that just came and scorched them and burnt them and took them all away. How Allah destroyed these individuals. Then Allah continues His depiction of these individuals. Sakhara alayhim sab'a layalin wa thamaniyata ayyamin husuma. 7 days that we find, or 7 nights and 8 days. Husuman, mutataliyat, mutatabi'at. Continuously, punishment after punishment on these people. You know, sometimes when the wind is scorching, when the heat is so much, you want it, some rest to be given, but Allah exposed them continuously. And then Allah then describes that these individuals, the punishment, فَتَرَى الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا سَرْعَ كَأَنَّمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةً. سَرْعَ بِمَعْنَى مَوْتَى. As dead corpses lying on the ground. Like palm trees, which have been uprooted from the ground. They've been lifted and is thrown on the earth. Just lying there. That's how Allah destroyed it. Look at the people, Qawm al-Lut, that now inside a society, be a tolerant society. Look at, read the Bible. Leave the Quran for aside, just for us. Read the Bible. What does the Bible say about Sodom and Gomorrah? What is it highlight? What were these people doing? It's not something hidden. And the Bible speaks about it. And that's how the Quran mentions as well, that these individuals, look at the river that we find inside Jordan at the moment, the Dead Sea. What's the history of the Dead Sea? How the angel came and picked the people up from underneath the sea, underneath the ocean, or the sea underneath the earth, plucked it up and just tilted it over. That it remains there as a sign, ayah linnas, a sign for people to reflect and people to see. But people go there and they bathe there. They take their mud for whatever medicinal purposes. They don't see the athar. Allah describes in Sadaqan to see the ending of those people. Look at Fir'aun. Allah's فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمِنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةٌ وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا لَغَافِلُونَ. Allah leaves these signs not to marvel at. Leave these signs for us to awaken ourselves. To reflect. Look how Allah destroyed these people time and time again. مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةٌ. Same words. Same cliches. Who's more powerful than us on the face of this earth? There existed many nations, many people before who said exactly the same words. That we're a powerful nation. We're a superpower. We're powerful people. Till eventually you find what? Ana rabbukum al-a'la. Fir'aun, what did he say? Ana rabbukum al-a'la. I'm your almighty God. You have no other deity but to worship me. What's the end of this individual? How Allah destroyed him. And the Quran is strange, whereby he boasted about the Nile flowing in front of him. He boasted about his palace, how the river flows in front of him. Allah destroyed him with the same water that he boasted about inside the ocean, the Red Sea. That he boasted about this. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. That's why a person should never, the crux of the issue inside a Muslim's life is at-takabbur. Arrogance, pride. That's what we need to sift through our life. We may speak about the ultimate level of pride of juhud. Billah, to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have elements of pride amongst our own self. All elements of pride that we identified, a person has mithqala dharra min kibr. Whoever has an atom's weight of pride, la yadkhulul jannah. We're not entering to paradise. Atom's weight. And we said that kibr is formats, various formats that we have, that we should be worried about that. That's why the whole concept of al-akhirah, person is worried about themselves. What will happen to me? How is Allah going to make hisab? مَنْ نُوْقِشَ فَقَدْ عُذِّبَ. Whoever Allah begins to question, begins to ask, فَقَدْ عُذِّبَ is punished. We're spending our life on this world every day asking about people. People, what are people doing inside their lives? لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرِ. You're not one sent over people to worry about people. You're not the Prophet ﷺ. You're in عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَغْ. Just to convey. Just to encourage people. That's it. Don't become so frustrated, so worried that I reminded him, I'd done this, I'd done that, I'd done that, I'd done that, I'd done that. Nuh alayhi salam. Alf am illa khamsina aman. He preached to his people 1,000 except for 50 years, 950 years. He had a right to say, Qala ya Rabbi, inni da'utu qawmi laylan wa nahara. I call my people day and night, in the open, in the secret, everywhere I call them. Wa anta ba'da daqa'iq, a few minutes you call people, this person doesn't listen, he's like this, he's like that, he's going towards Jahannam, he's going to be punished, he's going to be like this. Ayyu deen hadha? What religion is this? What deen is this? Is this why we're studying about al-akhirah? You find on the day of judgment, the prophets are going to be saying, Sallim, Sallim, rescue us, Allah, on the day of judgment. Prophets are going to be saying that. Prophets are going to say, go to this prophet, go to the following prophet, go to the following prophet, go to the following prophet, until they come to the best of the prophets. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They come to him because he's the one who is a leader of all of this world, all these worlds, the world of the jinn wal ins, the world of the prophets, everyone. That's ana lahu. That's the right of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And what was his life full of? What was his life full of immense compassion and mercy and worry in a right way towards his people? You know, sometimes you read through his seerah, you find strange things, how he forgave people who wanted to assassinate him. And he attempted to assassinate him. But he had this greater vision inside his life. You know, day in day, we deal with such petty things. Such petty things that we find. Don't want to speak to this person because he might pray in this masjid, or he done this, or he said this, or he done that. This shows the state of the Muslim ummah. Because petty people have petty rivalry. They don't have a greater objective. That shaitan keeps them busy with these small things. They don't begin to see the greater goal. Of achieving, of saving this Muslim ummah, bringing this Muslim ummah away from destruction, even though this Muslim ummah will not be destroyed, is the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah promised it. I will not destroy this Muslim ummah, but there's going to be people who are going to drift away. And that's why we need to awaken ourselves, how the Quran gives this depiction, that if you still don't see these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, till eventually then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to then mention that after that mentions that about فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّور نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. If that doesn't waken you up, how we destroyed those people, previous people. Then the first blowing of the trumpet. That then you should begin to reflect and think about that the last day. That's enough to send shivers down a person to reflect about the final day. وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا. When the heavens and the earth and they will be carried and they will be grounded like dust one by one, just like in some Surah Al-Fajr that we find, the end of this world and this dunya. فَيَوْمَئِذٍ وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ. On that day you find Al-Waqi'ah, once again the last day. The reality is established on that day. And the heavens and the earth that they split open that we find, and you find the angels, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come on that day that we find. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُعْرَدُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. On that day, everything is going to be exposed. Everything's going to be exposed on that day. You know, you read the ahadith about the last day. When the Prophet ﷺ speak about the last day, our mother Aisha, his wife, radiallahu anha, she says that will not people be looking at one another in a state of nudity, uncircumcised, standing on that day? A natural human psyche concept question. Will not people just look at one another? Ya Aisha, إِنَّ الْأَمْرُ أَشَدَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. The affair is far more severe than that. For a person to be worried about who's next to them, how they're dressed, whether they're clothed or they're not clothed. Everyone is there standing upon their own self. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return us back in the natural format, in the beginning. The way that we were created or the way that we were placed upon this earth, bring us back in front of Him to make hisab of us in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah then mentions, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابُهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. The person who's given the record inside the right hand. فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. That person who's given the record inside their right hand, a form of success. هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. Come, تَعَالَوْ. Ahumma, come look at my record. Look at the record I've been given in my right hand. اقرأوا كتابي, read my book. إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابي. ظننت هنا ليس بمعنى ظنا. That I thought I'm going to meet my record. هنا بمعنى يقينا. I knew for a fact. Because we said that ظن is one of those words in Arabic language that alternates between certainty and doubt. But this context is certainty. As we began with, the believers have a certainty. إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابي. I knew by the permission of Allah, I'm going to meet my accountability, meet my account. So I tried my best inside this dunya. فهو في عيشة راضية. That person will be في عيشة راضية. Will be in a state of felicity. بعض العلماء حرف جر في. They begin to discuss it. في عيشة راضية. Doesn't just mean just enjoying. Like she said, surrounded. حفظر. Surrounded by pleasure, total pleasure. Total pleasure for those people who strove in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fi jannatin aliyah, in lofty gardens. In a lofty garden for these individuals. Kutufuha daniya, you find that the plants or the fruits, daniyatun, they begin to collapse. That just via your mind, telepathic thought, that you want the fruit to come close to you, the branch begins to lower and comes close to you. That's how some ulama describe the works of tafsir. That the fruits are going to be close by, branching will be close by for those individuals. Kulu washrabu hani'an bima aslaftum fil ayyamil khaliya. Ajib. Kulu washrabu. Now eat and drink. Now enjoy your life. You know, that's why in this dunya, certain things are haram for a person to stay away from things. But a strange thing, that curiosity kills the cat, we go towards those small things. Maybe shurbul khamr fihi fawaid. Maybe drinking alcohol, it has a good taste, a good life. Maybe drugs, maybe this, maybe that. You know, some of these people, they enjoy their life taking these things, even though they know it's wrong. But that's how curiosity, it begins to play upon a person's mind. That look, these people are enjoying themselves. They're enjoying their life. Maybe there's some goodness inside this. They're eating and drinking. That we have kulu wa shrabu hani and bima aslaftum fil ayyamil khaliyah. That's struggling you down inside this dunya. That you avoided these things inside this dunya. Now your reward is here. Because as we began, once again, what is it? It's one simple thing. أَفِلَّيْ شَكٌ فَاطُرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The problem is us. We have doubt in the conviction in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us. This is a core essence within ourselves. We have a doubt. We don't have a conviction that if I do this, Allah will reward me with this. We have a weakness. We can't perceive it. We can't understand it. That there is going to be this reward given us. That's why we begin to drift away. We begin to wither away because the conviction that began is weak. That we can't, because we can't see that. It's the nature of the human being. He only strives and works for what he sees. The fruits that are given to him in front of him. He plucks the harvest. He plucks the money. He takes the profit. He takes the reward. He takes whatever he sees it and he enjoys it. But al-akhirah sometimes is given in this dunya, and most times given inside al-akhirah. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ Enjoy and rejoice what you carried out upon the face of this earth. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ That a person will be given their book inside their left hand. فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَ وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَ يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةِ مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَ هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ That person is given their record in the left hand. He's going to say, oh, I wish I never had my record. I wish my record was never given to me. That I've not been exposed on this day. Or what I carried out upon this earth. وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِهَا يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةِ Oh, Ya Rab. Ya Allah, if only this hadn't existed, it never came forth. Because in the dunya, you never believe in the decree that Allah's going to bring it forth. Now you're praying, you're asking, now don't bring it into existence. Don't expose me inside the, on the akhirah today, on this day. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَةِ Blame. You know, the wealth that I strove for. I was trying to carry out inside my life. Your wealth will not avail you this day. Halaka anni sultaniya, my power, my strength, my entourage, my soldiers, my troops, my army, my people, whatever it may be. Halaka anni sultaniya. Sultan, no power. No power, nothing left of the individual. As we mentioned, that's why the fara'id, they thought that when they go to the next world, that's why they buried their treasures. Because their belief was that when we go to the next world, we'll take it and we'll be the fara'ina, we'll be the fir'auns inside Jannah as well. We're going to take these treasures inside al-akhirah. And it's the same thing on a mini concept. What we believe in, I'll take these things with me inside al-akhirah. The only way they'll travel inside al-akhirah if there's some benefit. Benefit left with your wealth. Benefit left with the people around you. خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ Snatch him, take him. And then throw him inside Jahannam, throw this individual inside Jahannam, ثم في سلسلة ذرعها سبعون ذراعا فاسلكوه. Then take him, drag, put him in fetters, in chains, which length is 70 cubits, and drag him towards Jahannam inside the evil punishment. Then Allah mentions, what's the symbols? What's the symbols of these people? What are the actions that they do? We should focus upon this inside the Quran, because there's a great deeper concept that many of us fail to understand. We think that Islam is just certain practices, certain things. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّيْ الْعَظِيمِ أَوَّلًا Doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir, he mentions that rahmah, compassion, kindness is taken out of their hearts. وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ Doesn't feed the poor people. So belief isn't as some of us that we think that I have this right belief. Belief is compassion. Belief is compassion to subjects, to people around you. You don't enter into the decisive world whether a person is allowed or not allowed. A person who has rahmah, compassion inside their heart, their symbols, their traits, read through the Quran. Fi haqqi, there's a right in the wealth. Lissa'ili wal mahroom, people who ask, who don't ask. It is sifat of the believing individuals. Inside Surah Al Imran, Allah mentions that they spend of their wealth. Fi sarra'i wal dharra'i. They spend their wealth in times of richness, in hardships, adversities. They spend their wealth. Those are the real believers. Likewise, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ Read these ayat inside the Quran, how Allah depicts. Not just we think, I do one, two, three actions. That's a sign of a believer. Because many of these extra things, or these real things, we don't do them inside our life. We don't believe in social work. We don't believe in helping people. Allah's given us wealth, time, property, mind, education, health. For what reason? For what reason? Allah could have, may Allah forbid, and we should never pray, could have flipped the coin, could have placed us inside Philistine, could have placed our families inside Syria, could have placed us inside Iraq, could have placed us inside Kashmir. It's just a flip of a coin. It could have been there. So we need to be reflective about this and thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've been given this inside my life. So now I need to show that. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ I need to display the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards these individuals. فَلَيْسَ الْيَوْمَ هَاهُنَا حَمِيمٌ And that day, Hamim is a close bosom friend, a close friend. There's going to be no one on that day to help that individual on that day. This depictive nature doesn't just stop there. Whereby then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about these individuals. وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينَ Then ulama begin to discuss what غِسْلِين is. Adam wal ma'u, the blood and the pus and the entrails of the person that comes out, that's mixed together, becomes their ta'am. becomes their food for the people of Jahannam. You find, لا يأكله إلا الخاطئون. And none eat it except for the wrongdoing individuals. Then Allah mentions, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَا تُبْصِرُونَ وَمَا لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah mentions, takes an oath by that which you see, that which you don't see. Just as we began with in the surah, what we see, we don't see, and the Quran mentions. Allah's making an oath, but that which you can visualize and that which you can't visualize. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. That this is the words of a noble messenger, whether it be the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam or Jibreel, who's bringing the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bringing the Quran to the people. That's what we mentioned inside Surah Al-Qalam. The theme is the Quran. Allah speaks about the Quran. Likewise, here inside Surah Al-Haqqa, as well, ends by speaking about the Quran. Because the more the person believes inside the words of the Quran, the more the belief inside Al-Akhirah, inside the last day that you find. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرْ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. These are not words of a poet. قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. Because they just attribute these words to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That maybe he's a soothsayer, kahin, قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. He's a soothsayer, fortune teller. He's a mad person. He's a person who's full of making up these false claims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects all of this. Always praises the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. تَنْزِيلُ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what this Quran is. Revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's what Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he mentions, he goes to review that these ayat were the ayat that impacted Umar ibn Khattab. Ibn Adu Ulama, Imam Bayhaqi mentioned the beginning of Surah Taha, those ayat, those first 14 ayat impacted Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But it's plausible that he could have heard different ayat of the Quran. That when he heard these ayat, this Quran, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرْ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. Because they were poets, they were experts inside the language. They understood that this Quran, that's why the repetitious nature of the Quran, it has that siyaq of the Quran, the language of the Quran, that the poets at that time, they were left flabbergasted, weren't able to respond to how the Quran, how it depicts or says certain things. This isn't poetry. This is far beyond that. That's what this Quran is. وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. And this is not the statement of a soothsayer, made up fables, ancient myths. The Quran, هو الحق. What the Quran states is a truth, is a reality, is a belief, a conviction that we need to have inside our lives. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a severe warning that even if the Prophet was to attribute something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not be accepted. That's why Allah mentions, وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْدُ الْأَقَاوِيلِ. If he used to attribute, say something from himself, the Prophet we would take him to retribution. That's when the Quran mentions, inside the Quran it speaks about, even if you used to commit shirk, وَلَوْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. Even you, the Prophet ﷺ, commit shirk, will make your actions become null and void. Not that it's plausible. That it's plausible for the Prophet ﷺ to commit shirk. It's a warning. It's zajr. It's a warning inside the Quran that any individual, when it happens to be the best of creation, there's something which goes out of line, out of imperfection, then that person will be punished. Will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is deenullah. This is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one that legislates, that commands, and tells people what to do, or tells the messengers what to do inside their lives. That's why we read through the message when they made those split decisions. Would it be Yunus alayhi salam splitting away, Nuh alayhi salam making that dua, that supplication. Allah rebukes them, reminds them that you don't have a choice in the affair. You don't have a choice. You follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to do. وَإِنَّهُ لَتَذْكِرَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That this Quran is tazkirah. This Quran is a reminder for the pious individuals. Just at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Hudal lil-muttaqeen. That's what ulama discussed, that why don't some people, why their hearts not open up via the Quran? Because they don't want to be muttaqeen. They don't want to be muttaqoon. They don't approach the Quran. They want to take fa'idah, benefit from the Quran, change themselves with the verses of the Quran. That's why always people are asking, what's the best way to change yourself inside your life? Read the Quran. Study the Quran, see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes inside the Quran, tells us what to do. That's why inside the hadith in Sahih Muslim, Inna hadha al-Quran yarfa'u aqwam. This Quran raises people. Wa yad'u al-akharin, and it defames others. That's simple. You don't need a great degree or study in geopolitics or the world, international law, whatever it may be. Simple solution. Simple solution for all of us Muslims. That this Quran, how we observe the rights of this Quran. We live this Quran, we implement this Quran, we try to be people of the Quran. Then that's when this ummah will be lifted. And then when we begin to drift away, there will be certain athar. Read through even the Muslim empire, how certain empires, they were destroyed to a certain degree, not totally wiped out, but their athar are there. Whether it be the Mughal empire that we find, other empires that we find, all there across the globe. And Andalus that we find as well, it's all there to show us the signs. The signs that when you drift away, when you drift away from the Quran and you begin to get so engrossed inside this dunya and worried about this dunya, then we will shift you slowly away. And then to remind the other people come after you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people who take benefit from the Quran. The Quran awakens our soul and our mind and gives us this yearning to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to strengthen our actions, our iman, our conviction, and to remind and encourage all of ourselves that we are all ibadur rahman, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this journey to returning back to ar-Rahman.